the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Coming up this evening, we have Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor on a very, very good weekend for Andy Farrell. Ireland 2-for-2, going for a triple crown at Twickenham in 2 weeks' time. Kieran Donaghy on the weekend's GAA. We have Pat Nevin on the football show. Dan McDonald in studio after 9 o'clock and now as well. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, Nick McCarthy in Dublin this afternoon. He was talking to Stephen Doyle. That is on the way in the football show as well. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. And Richie McCormack sporting an increasingly impressive beard, everyone, also in studio.
Thanks, Joe.
Looking very nice, I have to say. The glasses, the beard, I like it.
It's just laziness.
It's very nice.
It's like, because if I do my head, I have to do my beard. And, you know, it's one or the other.
I think it's looking very well.
I'm like Jose now.
I think it's looking very well. All this week, important news, Dan. Mm-hmm. All this week, we are teaming up with Aldi to celebrate Valentine's Day. Research carried out by Aldi has shown that 60%, that's 60% of men, buy flowers for their special someone after 5:30 p.m. on Valentine's Day. I can see you nodding in agreement, Dan. But you've no excuses this year. You can get a dozen roses at Aldi from €3.79 right up to the Naomi Roses Showstopper Bouquet at €49.99 if you're feeling especially generous, Dan.
You'd go somewhere in the middle, I'd say, Joe, would you? You don't like want to go for the basic option, but you definitely
you don't want to go for the basic option. But also, you don't want to go for the expensive one to make it look like you've done something wrong.
Set a precedent.
I can see you definitely going for somewhere middle rank.
€15, €20, maybe.
Yeah.
As part of our partnership and for the week that's in it, we are giving away €300 in Aldi vouchers every night this week. Think of the roses you could get. Think of the bouquet you could get for €300. You could indeed. For your chance to win, simply answer this question.
It's good maths, Dan.
And we should tell you, by the way, this answer is related in some way to Valentine's Day and to romance. Tell us.
You don't want to read this one out, Joe, do you?
This is actually fine. It's just so silly.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. This is ridiculous. It's a hell of a way to make a living. Tell us, which golfer won his only major in 1997?
The USPGA, was it?
Yeah. So you need to know, okay. Yeah. Text your name and answer, 53106 for 30 cents, all with thanks to Valentine's Day at Aldi. And if you go onto our Off the Ball page, there's a fine picture of myself, Nathan Murphy, Adrian Barry, with various Aldi bouquets of roses in here in studio.
Did you try and keep one, maybe?
No. But I did buy one for my other half on the way home this evening.
Look at the €50 one I've got you here.
It's come early in our house.
Joe, you appear to be in a promotional photo with this earlier today.
If anyone tells her, I swear to God, there'll be trouble.
Is that why you look so uncomfortable in the photo?
I look more uncomfortable than I felt. I was just more kind of, it was a raised eyebrow at like, well, look at the state of us here. But Adrian Barry and Nathan Murphy could not look happier.
See, no, they're well into it.
Was this not a window to your future? And you were terrified, Joe. You were like, first the bouquets, what next?
Listen, get
launching
into Aldi.
National Something Week on Grafton Street.
Oh, I mean, the dream.
Yeah.
With Christmas around the corner. I'm saying that before Richie can. Get down to Aldi.
I'm surprised that's not how the copy started, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, what's going on, Richie? Mick McCarthy in town.
Yes, indeed, he is and has been. Republic of Ireland manager says he's disappointed at the lack of a loan move for Tottenham striker Troy Parrott in the January transfer window. Parrott marked his 18th birthday last week by signing a new 3-year deal at Spurs, but McCarthy says the striker needs first-team experience before he can add to his solitary international cap.
Wished he'd gone to Charlton and played games on loan. I don't know, he's great for him financially. He's got a new contract, but he's not letting him play, is it? I'm not bothered what length of contract he's got or what he does. It's playing football, I need to see him. And he was deprived of that because of his age at the end of it. And great for him, delighted, thrilled. But I wish he was playing football somewhere because that would be much better for us.
So Mick was in town today, in good form generally, was he?
I'm not sure if he was in great form, to be honest. But I mean, I sort of been a sympathy for him, really. Like It's a pretty sort of straightforward task that lies ahead for Ireland and for him next month. And, you know, he can take so many questions on this player and that player, but it's, in fairness, he is blunt enough and he's not going to sort of entertain, oh yeah, I might include him. And, you know, other managers would sort of go, oh yeah, you know, a question about sort of a young, like, you know, Jason Malumbi or someone who he'd been to watch it. Oh, he's a fantastic talent, and going on and on and about him. Mick's attitude is more like, well, I'm not going to play these players next month because we have a big qualifying match coming up, and I'm going to need the tried and trusted. So there we go. And then he has to take more questions and these players. And I mean, I'll ask these questions. Other people will ask these questions. These are, you know, persons of interest, players of interest. But I think, you know, the mixed situation is such that he's almost, I think, world weary at some of these questions. Yeah. Like, oh, here we go again. Like, yeah. I mean, I've told you before, I'm going to stick with the tried and trusted. But by all means, come at me again with more of this. But my answer is generally going to be the same. So, I mean, sometimes games are so big that it's the manager can really do nothing to improve their lot speaking about it beforehand. You know, it's like, it's a pretty straightforward equation. You have to get through this game no matter what. There, you know, and it's a really unique scenario we're facing into as well, because you have one game, you don't know if there's going to be a second game. You hope there's going to be a second game, which is going to be 5 days later in either Bosnia or Northern Ireland. And, you know, you have this long preamble, what we know, February 10th today, you know, to a game on what, March 26th. And, you know, Mick's going to have to do a couple more things between now, name a squad and whatnot. And really, I don't think he's going to change his line from the start all the way through to the end. And yet, within a week, he could be gone, or he could be a hero. And it's just, we're kicking down the clock towards this crunch period.
We are. We're all killing time. Even the journalists asking about Troy Parrott know that it's unlikely he's going to be called up for these games, especially if he's not been given minutes at Spurs. But you have to ask.
Yeah, of course.
Are you disappointed? And there we go. The one player who now may make a bit of a beeline and threaten, probably only threaten the starting 11, but is now in the conversation far more than we might have anticipated, is Shane Long.
Yeah, James McCarthy is another one, but I think more so Shane Long, definitely. You know, Long, sort of spoke about this briefly on Saturday, like Long is, in my view, he's always been quite streaky throughout his career. And when he's in a good vein of form and when he's confident, he can be very effective. And he seems to be in a good place at the moment. And if he's in the form in the sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks time, 6 weeks or 5 weeks time that, you know, that he is now, I think he's got a case, but I'm still not convinced that he'll do anything more than be on the bench and be considered to be thrown in. I still think he's going to play David McGoldrick. I still think he's going to stick with the players once they're all fit and available. Mm. And of course, this is, you know, injury at the wrong time can change this discussion completely. But I think Long, at best, is someone who's going to be, having come from the wilderness and been left out of squads in the autumn, which must have been damaging for him. And like, I mean, Shane Long, whatever about, he hasn't always played regularly for Ireland, but since he's got into the equation, he hasn't been left out of squads like he has been now. Mm. So maybe to the bench, but I'm not sure about into the team.
One last question before we move on with the news round. It's where Ireland are 1-0 down. Mick turns to the bench. Who's his first striker that goes on?
Yeah. So I'd imagine that, I think where he's probably more likely to be bowled is probably in the squad selection. Like, you can have 23 players in your matchday squad, so you can have 12 subs. And I think you would expect him to be cagey enough in terms of the team that he picks. And Slovakia have a lot of possession. He's going to go with the old dogs, they'd sort of try and trust it again, all those lines. But I think you want to leave himself with options on the bench. And I think that's where you need a Long, an Aaron Connolly, maybe even an Obafemi. I mean, I just find it hard to see the Parrott one if he doesn't play any football between now and then. But you have that range, Callum Robinson maybe. Mm. You have that, and you leave yourself with enough attacking options.
I think it's
knockout football.
You're, sure. And look, we can't predict the exact nature of the game, but it's between Long and Connolly.
I would have thought so, yeah. Basically. And if you think you're in a situation where Slovakia are dominating possession and you come to the stage where the game is level and it's an Ireland match, so every chance is going to be level until late enough in the day, are they leaving space that can be exploited by as they go for the winner almost, who do you look for? Mm. And that's where Long comes into the equation. I think I wouldn't be shocked if Long overtook Connolly in his thoughts. But yeah, I mean, I can't see either of them starting, put it like that. No.
So JP outside, who says he's been doing this 3 years now, is it JP? God. 3 years?
Whew. 3 years what?
In the job as OTB producer. It'll be four this summer. Euro 2016, you were there for sure.
Definitely okay, there for Euros, yeah.
3.5 years, at least. He says, in his 3.5 years monitoring the entries for the many competitions we have done over the years, for this Aldi €300 voucher, for roses and various bouquets competition, the most entries he has ever seen.
Wow. A lot of people want to get it out of the way before Friday.
Oh dear.
Speaks volumes over our listenership, doesn't it? They want to get flowers for the missus. They want to do the gesture.
But we've had infinitely, I mean, it's a great prize.
We're
giving away some huge prizes. But the Aldi roses, that's what the people want. And I'm not surprised. Some of the answers thus far. Incorrect, Justin Rose. Incorrect, Freddie Couples.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's all I can say for now.
Tiger Woods won his first major in 97, didn't he?
Masters, yeah.
Yeah. At least, it's obviously not him.
Probably not best to connect
the romantic vibe we're going for.
I think you might have needed the 300, but...
One for you.
And McDonald, I'm surprised at you now.
No, you're not. Come on.
It's sort of a factual representation of my...
Smut is what you're bringing.
People out there might want to have their options open.
We're talking romance.
He was a young man in 1997. Mm-hmm. There might be people out there who have two or three people that might want to buy stuff for.
Aldi roses.
It's absolutely fine.
Aldi roses are not about smut, they're about romance.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not always going to one person. Some people could be preparing them for two or three.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I understand how the world works. Thanks, Dan.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Not like so anyway. Middle of the age, 30 euro flowers, Gemini.
What? Sorry, what? What would you get?
I don't know.
What's an appropriate amount to spend on flowers?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a challenge. I agree. I'm not enough of an expert on flowers to get it right.
So none of us here are experts.
No.
Come on, how much?
You see, I'm putting you on the back foot here now.
No, I've just nudged
you
back.
You're very firmly on the back foot now.
No, I'm not. I mean,
sorry.
You've got up an octave there, Dan.
How much are you spending on your Valentine's flowers this Friday?
I don't always go for flowers, you know, do something else.
I'm asking you in the case of flowers this Friday, Dan.
Flowers, yeah, maybe 30 could be right. Now that you think of it.
Right,
you wouldn't go much higher.
No, well.
Oh, would you?
Well, me and Richie would. Now we'll move on. Jack Conan. Good news on him.
Yeah, he could be fit to play in Leinster's Heineken Champions League quarterfinal with Saracens in April. The number 8 has been ruled out of action since suffering a broken foot at the World Cup. Senior coach Stuart Lancaster also says Dan Levy's making good progress from his knee injury, which was sustained in last year's European quarterfinal with Ulster. Lancaster also says the province accepts the EPCR's decision not to expel Saracens from the competition, having fielded an ineligible player in the group stage against Racing.
To be honest, I didn't get involved in the details. I mean, obviously, you know, you look at the disciplinary panel and you trust their judgment. So they saw it as an administrative error, an oversight, and they've gone for a fine, which, you know, there's no one at Leinster can say anything different. You know, we're not going to pass an opinion on it. It's their judgment.
Probably wise not to pass any opinion on that. Just get on with it. They've got a game to play against them.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is Racing on Friday.
Had
a pretty terse response to the fine, but ultimately said there's going to be no appeal. So that's where we are with that.
Okay, so Leinster Saracens very much goes ahead. Bad news for Vincent Rates.
Yeah, he is going to be missing the rest of the Six Nations, perhaps even the rest of the season as well. The winger sustained a fractured fibula 4 minutes from the end of yesterday's win over Italy. Just after the game, Fabien Galthié, the France head coach, thought it was a sprained ankle. Rates, you might remember, scored the opening try of the French win over England just over a week ago. France welcome Ireland to the Stade de France in the final round of games. And it's also a significant blow to Ronan O'Gara, whose La Rochelle side currently sit third in the top 14.
I'm sure you won't mind me saying it was an interesting insight into life of a manager. He's watching the game, he's analysing the game. Rates goes down and it's like, please get up. Oh no. Oh, please get up. Oh dear. And then we saw footage, obviously, of the incident. I don't know if it necessarily went out on TV, but it looked very serious, and it's proven that way. So that's a pity, because he was the young player, apparently great character, really likable fella, and Damien Penaud had been injured and he'd come in and played well and kept his place. So it was a tough one for him to take.
Yeah, and he's going to move to Montpellier as well in the summer, which is upcoming, so it's another blow on that front. Okay. Meanwhile, sticking with rugby, Scotland head coach Gregor Townsend says he's no intention of altering his approach to accommodate Finn Russell. The Racing head half has been exiled from the Scottish camp since a breach of team discipline prior to their opening game with Ireland. Russell gave a Sunday Times interview over the weekend saying he has no personal relationship with Townsend. And while leaving the door open for a Russell return, Townsend says the out half must commit to, quote, being a trusted member of the team. In a further blow for Scotland, second row Johnny Gray will miss their last three games. He has a hand injury.
He's so, I mean, like, Russell has created a touch of a Saipan-esque issue here in that the team's best player is basically saying, well, me and that manager ain't working, we've never worked. And I don't think he, it doesn't go quite so far as saying he's, as long as he's there, I'm not playing, I don't think. But it's certainly intimated. It heaps a whole ton of pressure on Gregor Townsend.
Yeah, he's done enough to torch the bridge that he's just walked over. And as you say, puts a lot of pressure on Gregor Townsend. And if Townsend actually does relent now without there being a serious conversation between the two, he looks like a mug. So you can't see Russell playing underneath Gregor Townsend. That's how long Townsend lasts. I think the last three games are going to go some way.
It would have been better if he'd done it in Japan, though, for the World Cup, to add to the real Saipan comparisons. I mean, now they're probably like very close to each other. There's no like interviews being given at then, you know, different times of the night in the respective places. Mm. You know, I'm not sure if it's got to the level of like the Scottish Tommy Gorman having an interview. I know he gave an interview over the weekend. Finn Russell, is that what started it? That's the latest phase.
Well, it all happened, and no one had said much. Townsend, in all the press conferences, pretty much kept his counsel. Said we'll review this after the this weekend of games. But Russell was in the Sunday Times yesterday.
That was the one. Yeah,
saying, well, look, we've never got on. This is a joke. This guy's terrible. You know, I stand over what I did. It's a him or me type vibe. So I don't know. You would have to think whether Townsend likes it or not. He can't continue indefinitely without his best player, especially off a bad World Cup and two Six Nations defeats. So he may have to go and meet with Russell and say, look, we can sort this out, can't we?
And we'll
see what happens. Now, where are we going next? There were a match today?
Yeah, there was a rearrange from yesterday. England have moved above Ireland to the top of the Women's Six Nations table. They ran in 8 tries in a 53-0 demolition of Scotland in the snow at Murrayfield today. Ireland visit England in their next game in just under a fortnight's time.
Denise and Touch lads, in my experience, context, sincerity, thoughtfulness are what counts on Valentine's Day. You can spend £100 on flowers as an afterthought and they would not be appreciated. And I speak as someone who has given and received flowers. 100% true.
Completely
agree.
Hang on.
Yeah. A nicely written card, not done at 8 p.m. that evening.
Yeah,
far superior.
Don't have any kind of price tags or, you know, any evidence that this has just been purchased.
Would you have been somebody who was into Valentine's Day? Some people ignore it completely. Are you a man who would have made a big effort? Your face tells me no.
No, like, they wouldn't necessarily go overboard, but I mean, obviously that depends on the other person's attitude towards it. Mm. Not being totally pushed. Of course, like anyone who's a League of Ireland fan will know that the League of Ireland season starts on Friday night, the 14th, which is Valentine's night. So, it's, you know, it's a tough break for a lot of other halves.
Well, unless you're a Bows and Rovers supporter.
Which is, oh yeah, it's on Saturday, of course, yeah. The true love affair has been put back. Yeah, 21st. So that's going to be... Yeah.
A serious point connected with the rugby. So England playing today. Are you going to mention the no hot water for the Welsh ladies? I know it's on a different level to the men, but that is such a disgrace. Yeah, I was. Gavin Comiskey was onto the RFU today. Certainly, I was reading his piece, and what seemed to happen is that there were two different clubhouses. There's Old Wesley and there's Bective. The Irish. I don't want to get the clubhouses wrong, but the one that the Irish team were changing in, the water worked absolutely fine. That was Wesley. Mm. And then in Bective, what the RFU said was that they checked the water even after half time to make sure all was in order. And then they're attributing it to Storm Ciara. There was some kind of damage. And then there was no hot water, obviously. They apologized profusely. They went in with teas and coffees and various things to try and heat everybody up. And they even offered, well, if you, I mean, I probably not, it was refused ultimately, understandably, I suppose, but they were offered, well, you can absolutely use the facilities at the other end of the pitch in the Wesley changing room, and that was refused, and so they got changed and moved on. And obviously the optics of it are horrendous, and you know, when it feeds into the sense that, you know, women's sport isn't being treated well enough, then it looks dreadful. I do think ultimately it was a mistake made, you know, it was no willful mistake here. It was like just one of these awful confluence of events, and it looks terrible. And, you know, I know the Irish team in 2013 in Milan, one of the players almost got hypothermia because the showers weren't working. So when you've been on the end of bad facilities, I can see how this absolutely grates. I had a certain sympathy that, look, this sort of thing can happen, but like, I understand that.
Yeah, I think when you're
nowhere near good enough,
as you say, the optics, when you're explaining, you're losing to a degree with all of these things. And I remember a couple of years back, there was a 4-team tournament in the Aviva Stadium, and there was like a League of Ireland team in it, and they had to go and change to some different dressing rooms away from, you know, the main stadium. And it's just, like, it's just the optics of it. And I, again, like, I'm always wary of wading into these things. Like, you know, people get interested in this from outside on one issue and then they head off back, you know, and that's it. But I do find a bit from outside that, and I know there's been a strategy to, like, pour money into the sevens team in Irish women's rugby, and I know we spoke about it a bit off air, and there's a logic behind that. But I do think at a time when the RFU is kind of widely regarded as like a cash rich association, like, you know, in good health, yet, you know, they sort of have, there's been, they've scaled back their sort of senior women's team to a degree, and pretty much managed to do so, you know, with their explanation being accepted without any real criticism. There's been some.
No, there's been, there has been,
but
there
not,
has been criticism.
Not to a, not to a, no, really, I think I, massive degree.
Again, wading in from the outside, like, it was a big story when it happened, and they, a couple of years ago, and they advertised for the position and reduced it to part-time, and that got a lot of criticism. That was a big story. And Adam Griggs has come in now, and
he's back. Is he back full time now?
As I understand that he is. I'm open to correction that, but as I understand that he is. And they're two wins for two, and there's a sense that after a terrible year last year, and we had Philip Doyle on, the former manager, on the station on this show, saying the 15s has been abandoned and it's a disgrace.
Yeah, like, I felt there was a reluctance last year to discuss that at times. No, you know, in the context of some of these thrashings.
Maybe,
you know?
I think
from a team that, like, had captured the attention of the nation a couple of years ago when they had the great run in the World Cup. Yeah. And, like, a couple of years later, getting hammered, it's like, well, they've gone for one over the other.
The RFU defended their position for sure, but I think there was criticism, and maybe, you know, and the team seemed to be more based in Abbottstown now, I would presume, and hope they have more access to expertise in various quarters. They're two wins for two at this season. They got one win last year. Actually, we've already booked Kira Griffin is going to come on the show tomorrow. Yeah. She's the captain. She's the best person to ask.
There's more perspective. I guess that is the danger of wading into it when you're not necessarily following it all the time, but it does. I just think, you know, it does strike you from outside that the optics look so bad that no matter how you try and explain it, it's a bit like the Irish women's team, the soccer team with the tracksuit story. That story sticks more than anything. You know, they had to change their tracksuits when they got back to the airport. There was no showers after a game. Mm-hmm. You know, like, once that exists and that situation can happen, whatever the reasons, and very valid reasons it might be, it sort of cements the perception that, you know, this isn't being given the love that it should be.
I get that. And that's a
struggle for the authorities. So they just have to make sure that nothing like this just can happen ever again for whatever reason.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, Kira Griffin on the show tomorrow, so we'll chat to her. They are two wins for two, which is the better news, the Irish team, that is. Now, where are we going next?
You mentioned Storm, Kira. They're the three Allianz Football League games that fell victim to the storm yesterday will all be played this coming Sunday. The Division 2 meeting of Laois and Cavan, the Division 3 clash of Louth and Offaly, and Wicklow's meeting with Sligo in Division 4 will all have 1 p.m. throw-ins. No confirmation just yet on when the postponed Camogie and Ladies Football League fixtures will be replayed. The weather, meanwhile, has claimed Wednesday's race meeting at Ferry House following today's rain and snow showers and the threat of more to come. The course has been deemed unfit for racing. There'll also be an 8 a.m. inspection at Punchestown tomorrow to see if their scheduled card can go ahead. The ground there is currently deemed heavy, but the track is raceable. Police in Scotland have confirmed that a 12-year-old boy has been charged and reported in relation to racist chants. He allegedly directed the remarks towards a Rangers player during December's Old Firm clash with Celtic in the Scottish Premiership. Rangers won that game at Celtic Park by 2-1. Chris Farrell and Jack O'Donoghue are in contention for Munster's Pro 14 meeting with the Southern Kings on Friday. They're among 13 players released from international duty ahead of the next round of international or provincial games, I should say. Leinster pair Ronan Kelleher and Max Deegan are the only players returning to their provinces, having seen action for Ireland over the last fortnight. Dave Kearney, Luke McGrath and Will Connors also join back up with Leo Cullen's side. Alton Delan and Dave Heffernan are back at Connacht ahead of their meeting with Cardiff, while Ulster welcome back Billy Burns, Tom O'Toole, Stuart McCloskey and Jack McGrath ahead of Saturday's trip to the Ospreys. Rory McIlroy, meanwhile, is officially back on top of the golf world rankings. It's the first time the County Down golfer has been world number one since September 2015. McIlroy didn't play at last week's PGA Tour event in Pebble Beach, but he's moved up in ranking due to its two-year rolling format.
Yeah, it's well-deserved. He's had an amazing back end in particular to 2019. He has not been this consistent in however many years. I mean, probably back to 2015 territory when he was world number one again. Peter Laurie is on our golf podcast here all the time. Mm-hmm. He is of the opinion, and we are all looking in from the outside, but he certainly reckons that the Portrush, you know, the eight on the first hole with all the build up and all the hype to an open at his home or close to his home course has been a major kick up the backside to him, to use Peter's expression. I mean, he was playing well before that, but the Masters and the Open obviously didn't go the way he wanted. But he is now poised more than ever. Like, if it doesn't happen for Rory in the majors this year, I'd be amazed. Like, it just feels everything was in working order towards the end of last season. Brilliant. He has sometimes taken a break and, you know, a while to get the momentum going, but he's hit the ground running really nicely this year. In terms of, like, the major quote-unquote drought, it's not a drought for most players, but for him it is.
It is. It is by his standards.
By
though,
his standards, yeah.
But it, like,
it feels like he's poised.
Because it's not a seal. Like, I think the thing about last year for a lot of people who sort of drop in and out of it, it's not that, like, his major performance ran in tandem with a general slump in his career. Like, someone like Martin Keimer, someone who's gone off the map to a degree. Like, he's competing most weeks, just not on those weeks.
Yeah.
And but that makes people, I think, less forgiving. Some respects as well, because that does.
Yeah,
I
mean, it does. Because he wins the players and then doesn't go well at the majors. Yeah.
And I mean, look, Augusta is obviously a massive thing for him every year until hopefully he wins one. And like, if he does win one, all of a sudden he jumps to the top or way up there in all time great discussions.
He's iconic.
So like, that's like, I mean, that is the fickleness of it. But I still think a lot of people who float and drop in and go won't be convinced by any of this. Until he lifts that next
major. That's fair as well, that's, in some respects. Yeah.
But I mean, that's a compliment to the standard that he set for himself.
Sure is. Yeah, no, if he wins the Masters, then we're looking at something ridiculous. Right, that is your news round for this evening. After 8 o'clock, we've got Rory O'Connor and Keith Wood. After 9 o'clock, Dan is back in studio. Pat Nevin will join us. We'll bring you Stephen Doyle's full interview with Mick McCarthy. And up next, Kieran Donaghy's going to join us.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.